the Superhuman Channel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and listen to classic episodes of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Listen Now button.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Triceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Triceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a fast-moving show for you today. First, we will be talking with Dr. Ching-Shi Chen about how vitamin E prevents cancer. Then we will switch topics to look at telomere length again. We do have research now that shows that the length of your DNA can predict life expectancy, and we'll be talking with Dr. John Carlquist about that. And then we will switch to the UK, where we speak with Dr. Elena Hyponen to talk about how obesity actually leads to vitamin D deficiency. So we're going to move fast. It's going to be a packed show. Stay with us. We're going to get started right away with Dr. Chen. How are you, Dr. Chen?
Very good. Thank you.
Dr. Chen is Director of Medicinal Chemistry over at Ohio State University. So there's been lots of misinformation and confusing statuses about vitamin E. What exactly did your group do, and what did you determine when you looked at vitamin E and cancer?
Well, indeed, you correctly point out it's a lot of confusion about vitamin E. Well, vitamin E actually is a mixture of different molecules. There are a total of eight different forms of vitamin E. You have two groups. One is tocopherol. The other one is tocotrienol.
Right.
And each group has four different forms, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. So the natural source mainly is the alpha and gamma tocopherols.
Right.
So in this study, we try to find out, well, what is the mechanism underlying the ability of vitamin E, especially alpha and gamma tocopherol, to kill cancer cells. Well, the reason we started this project, because as you know, that the SELECT trial, which used vitamin E and selenium in prostate cancer prevention,
right.
which got very disappointing result. At the same time, you know, many of the animal study using various forms of vitamin E give positive result that showed chemo preventive activity in different animal models. So the confusion is because we really don't understand the mechanism, the anti-tumor mechanism of these different forms of vitamin E. So this was the rationale for our study on this topic. So what we found was quite interesting. Many people believe that vitamin E has this health beneficial effect due to the antioxidant activity,
right?
It can eliminate the reactive oxygen species and also free radicals in our system. But, you know, evidence also suggests there are mechanisms independent of antioxidation. So this comes through our study that we studied the ability of alpha and gamma tocopherol to inhibit a very important kinase called AKT in cancer cells.
Yeah, protein kinase, right.
Right. This AKT is responsible for many aspects of cancer cells to state proliferation and to promote the growth. So we found that this both form of vitamin E, alpha and gamma tocopherol, could selectively inactivate AKT through a process called dephosphorylation. So I may become a little bit technical here.
No, that's okay. If you do, I'll stop you and reiterate. Don't worry.
Okay, thank you. So it's selectively dephosphorylated AKT, which is an inactivation process at the serum phosphate 3. Because AKT requires activation through phosphorylation at the 2 site, mm-hmm. serum phosphate 3 versus threonine 208. And vitamin E can selectively causing AKT dephosphorylation at one site, which is serum phosphate 3, without disturbing the threonine 308. So this is quite interesting phenomenon, suggesting that there's a unique biochemical pathway involved in this dephosphorylation. So this come to the second player called a protein phosphatase called PHLPP1. This is a tumor suppressor. So PHLPP1 has been known to dephosphorylate AKT at the serum phosphate 3. Mm-hmm. But however, how it's activated is not clear. So we found that vitamin E, once it becomes incorporated into the cell membrane, it could attract AKT and the PHLPP1 to the cell membrane. So when these two come together, PHLPP1, which is a tumor suppressor, will cause AKT inactivation. So this process leading
in actuality, it's not necessarily the vitamin E that is causing this phenomenon. It is vitamin E that is making it possible for these two molecules to come together on the cell surface.
Exact cell membrane inside the cell, the interface between membrane and the cytoplasm.
Now, many things that seem to have a beneficial effect on oncogenesis seems to correct apoptosis that's gone awry. Is that what's happening here? Does the vitamin E, by attracting these two players and getting them to work together, does that then reestablish the apoptotic landscape so that in some cases perhaps even tumors and cancer cells can be reabsorbed?
Well, you are absolutely right. AKT, which is important for cancer cell survival, become upregulated, that's been activated in tumor cells because of genetic mutations or because of the environmental stimulation. So in a way, when AKT become activated, the cells lose the ability to undergo apoptosis. So when PHLPP1 become activated, it will antagonize this AKT activation, and like you say, cell reacquire the ability to undergo apoptosis and eventually leading to the tumor suppression.
Okay, now you just tested the alpha and gamma isoforms of tocopherol, correct?
Yes.
Why does science pay so little attention to the tocotrienols when some research out there shows that they seem to be much stronger, much more effective at doing the things that vitamin E is supposed to be good for doing?
Well, I think this is an excellent question. Well, in nature, the alpha and gamma forms of tocopherol are the major form of uh-huh. vitamin E. And tocotrienols are the minor form. And in reality, from the chemical structure, these two are very similar, except that in the side chain of tocotrienols, they are unsaturated, right? They are polyunsaturated aliphatic side chain.
Okay.
So in terms of the function in anti-tumor activity, you are absolutely right. The tocotrienols have better potency relative to the tocopherols. But this may in part due to its chemical property, because of the unsaturated chemical structure, which make it more accessible and, of course, more potent in terms of the many aspects of the anti-tumor effect. But, from the biochemical perspective, the underlying mechanisms of these two classes of vitamin E should be very similar.
Interesting. So the vitamin E that you tested, was this given to rodents in a chow? Was it infused? How did you – or was this done in a Petri dish? I'm sorry if I missed that question.
Well, that's a good question. Well, you know, in the beginning, we used the alpha and gamma tocopherol in cell culture.
Okay.
And we identify a mechanism. So this information allow us to improve the anti-tumor potency of vitamin E through a very slight chemical modification. You know, because as I mentioned, vitamin E recruits these two molecules, two proteins to a cell membrane,
right,
the AKT and PHOPP1. And if you can think about that, in a cell membrane, right, and the vitamin E has a very long tail, and it has a lot of hydrophobic interactions that will pull the molecule into the membrane,
mm-hmm,
which make it less accessible. So, you know, from the, you know, this is part of the physical chemistry of the molecule, has a very long side chain, and the cell membrane is a very hydrophobic environment. So it makes the head group, which is the Coleman ring, less accessible. So in the following study we did, right, we have this information. If we can truncate the side chain, make it shorter,
mm-hmm,
right, the shorter side chain will have a less hydrophobic pull into the membrane and make it the head group more accessible to the cytoplasmic proteins. So we could improve the potency by about 20-fold.
Wow! Wow! So will this be the subject of a pharmacological intervention into vitamin E? Will we see this new structure of vitamin E on the market at some point in time?
Well, very interesting question. This is a very early study. We need to do more study in terms of dosing, in terms of formulation. And of course, we are in academic institution, so we need to find industrial partner to help us for the clinical translation.
I have a funny feeling you won't have a hard time finding an industrial partner to get involved with this, Dr. Chen. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion. We're talking with Dr. Qingxi Chen from he's the director of medicinal chemistry at Ohio State University. We're talking about vitamin E and how it may actually prevent cancer. Very important discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Everyone wants growth hormone because growth hormone works. Now, AgeForce is offering a buy one, get one free on their most popular transdermal patch. The Power Patch contains 25 milligrams of real somatropin per patch. It delivers real, competent human growth hormone right to your bloodstream without the discomfort of injections. There's never been a better time to see what the Power Patch can do for you. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today. This offer ends soon. Get your growth hormone the AgeForce way. Power Patch.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Wherever you call your battlefield, after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, and Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition, and Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleandnutrition.com. That's muscle, A-M-N-U-T-R-I-T-I-O-N.com.
Recover!
And Nutrition.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Ching-Chi Chen from Ohio State University about the protective effects against cancer that vitamin E can bestow. But his group has found a unique form of vitamin E. And they have created it in the lab by basically chopping off about 60% of the side chain of the alpha and beta form isoforms of tocopherol. Now, Dr. Chen, you then took this this particular variant of vitamin E that you've created in the lab.
Yes.
And you applied it to some prostate cancer cell lines. What did you find?
Well, not only the prostate cancer cell line, but also animal model. So in a cell line study, we showed that the truncated form of this alpha and gamma tocopherol had much higher potency. It's about 20-fold higher potency to induce apoptosis in prostate cancer cell line. So we take it one step further, and then we injected this gamma form of this truncated tocopherol into tumor xenograft model. That means we inject tumor cells to grow tumor in room mice. And we use two different models, which one is called PG3, which is androgen-independent prostate cancer, and the other one is called NCAP-ABL, which is a castration-resistant prostate cancer model. Mm-hmm. So in both animal model, the gamma form of this truncated tocopherol show high potency in suppressing tumor growth. So this is quite interesting because, the alpha form and the gamma form, tocopherol, which is a natural form, have very low potency. You know, it can work only in the prevention model at high concentrations. But for this truncated form, it does show the therapeutic efficacy. So we are very interested in that. And further, we took out the tumor and do some of the biomarker study, look at the effect of the drug on some of the tumor markers, for example, AKT. And we do show we saw the correlation, the ability to suppress tumor growth with the ability to cause AKT inactivation.
Now, I understand that this isoform, this unique form of the alpha and gamma tocopherol isoforms that you're working with in the lab clearly have, as you point out, a 20-fold increase in effectiveness.
Yes.
But what can we take away from your research that may, if anything, help clear up some of the misinformation about vitamin E and cancer? Can we take away anything, or does vitamin E not possess the oncoprotective effects that is seen in your study because it is not delivered in sufficient amounts into the cell?
Well, that's an outstanding question. You know, like we said in the very beginning, the existing data are very confusing. You know, some study using the synthetic supplemental tocopherol, for example, in the SELECT trial, they use this all racemic synthetic alpha tocopherol for patients, and they did not see the beneficial effect
right.
in prostate cancer prevention. But in a lab setting, people often use the gamma form of tocopherol and or mixture form, so they saw the beneficial effect. So we were very curious about this as well. So we do some of the computer modeling study and look at how alpha and gamma form of tocopherol bind to the pocket of AKT. Because as I mentioned earlier, they could recruit AKT to the membrane as well as PHLPB1. So we found that we delineate the domain on the AKT for the binding to the tocopherol head group. So we compare alpha form and the gamma form tocopherol. We found that gamma form has a higher binding affinity than the alpha form. So this explains why the gamma tocopherol has a better chemopreventive effect relative to alpha form. So this goes back to your question. How can we take this information, right? So basically, it tells you that the alpha tocopherol has lower chemopreventive activity or lower anti-tumor activity.
Mm.
And the gamma form has a better activity in suppressing tumor growth. So furthermore, we use this information for the drug design, and then we can develop a more potent form of this AKT inhibitor using the gamma tocopherol as a scaffold by chopping off 60% of the side chain.
Gotcha. Okay, so and those in the orthomolecular community will often say that the synthetic forms of both the alpha and the gamma isoforms are not good for the human body, that the body does not recognize them, and as a result, that there are research studies out there that show that they could actually increase both tumor proliferation and cancer. Do you have any opinion on that at all?
Well, definitely the synthetic form is different from the natural form. Synthetic form, as I mentioned, is, you know, you call it all racemic. It actually has eight different isomers, stereoisomers in the synthetic alpha tocopherol relative to this RRR isoform. You know, they are so-called chiral center. And the natural form is pure form.
Okay.
Optically active form. But the synthetic form has eight different mixtures, eight different isomers in a mixture. So definitely it has poorer potency
okay.
in terms of the anti-tumor activity.
Do you take an over-the-counter vitamin E supplement, Dr. Chen?
No, I don't.
Not at all, huh?
Not at all. Not at all. I think that you can take it from natural sources. For example, WeGem has a very high content. And many other, sunflower oil, so on and so forth.
The one that's really popular right now is palm fruit oil, which has all of the both tocopherol and tocotrienols in the natural ratios. And that's become very popular as the production of a supplement. I personally take a natural complete form of vitamin E.
I think
that's where the value is. In my humble opinion, you know what happens, Dr. Chen? Science always looks to isolate. Here is the one thing that does what we need to do. But then years up the road, we find out that there was a synergistic effect in the other things that were in there. And then we end up realizing, the natural form was better for us. So I use critical thinking and I say we evolved under conditions of all 8 isoforms, and that's the best thing for me. You think that's too idealistic of me?
No, no, I think you are absolutely right. The best way to get this supplement is from natural sources. I think that there's a reason. You know, there's evolution involved that, this different form of vitamin E occur in natural form has a better beneficial effect. And, the synthetic form, as I mentioned, has a problem because it's a mixture of different stereoisomers. Even you talk about alpha tocopherol, it has, 8 different isomers. So we really don't know how the other isomers do in the body. So I think I fully agree with you. But, taking the information out of our study, we can further design even more potent form of vitamin E by truncating the side chain, by making the side chain shorter.
Oh, I completely agree. In a clinical or therapeutic setting, you want something that doesn't work well. You want something that works extremely well. And in that case, if you're looking to perhaps a dual therapy in prostate cancer where they're using a traditional approach and maybe your form of vitamin E to approach it from two different angles, I can see that being much more effective than just saying to the patient, now go take vitamin E when you go home along with this, because that may be good for the healthy body that's trying to use vitamin E in a prophylactic approach, but it's not going to deliver the strength of its force in reversing or capturing or rescuing a situation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I agree with you. And, we talk about different for healthy individuals versus, people at the risk of certain type of cancer. So, you are absolutely right that healthy individuals probably just take, supplement from natural sources. But people who are at the risk for certain type of cancer, think about using, natural form of gamma tocopherol or the tocotrienols instead of the alpha tocopherol.
I think you're going to have no problem finding a company to come forth and want to help fund this form of vitamin E. We've already seen one of the B vitamins turned into a pharmaceutical drug. And now there is rumor that resveratrol is being synthesized to be more efficient for those people who want the benefits of resveratrol. So I have a feeling that your research is going to provide you with a number of people who want to get involved. I want to thank you for taking time to come on the show today, Dr. Chen.
Well, it's a great pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to switch to subject matter. We're going to start talking about telomere length, DNA length, and whether or not it can actually predict life expectancy when we're joined in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP-6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes The Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
I've been watching you. A la 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 long. A la 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 long.
Okay.
Long.
Now the conversation changes to something that we've been talking about for a long time on the show, as we're joined by Dr. John Carlquist. How are you doing, Dr. Carlquist?
Fine, Carl. How are you?
Very good, very good. So let's talk. You recently published a paper implicating DNA length as an indicator of, or potential indicator of, longevity. The discussion about telomere length has kind of been a ping pong ball. Some people say that it means something. Some people say that it means nothing. I always thought they were splitting hairs. I have to believe it means something. What did you find out?
Well, we found a number of things, actually. We got into this area simply because my background is cardiovascular genetics, and we were interested in, you know, how does telomere length impact, or how does it correlate with risk for cardiovascular disease? And of course, we found that it did. A lot of people have. But more importantly, at that time, we found that if you adjust for age, this is a statistical technique, that the association went away. So, and our first finding was basically risk for coronary disease was an age-associated risk, not necessarily tracking with the telomere length. But more recently, what we looked at is actual death in cardiovascular patients, not just death from cardiovascular disease, but from any cause, and found that independent of age, your risk of death goes up if your telomeres are shorter.
So there's been some research that implicates not necessarily the length of the telomere, but the speed in which it shortens as more predictive of cellular senescence. And that's what I always thought they were splitting hairs about. Did you see that recent research that was published? I want to say it was a couple months ago.
Well, actually, that's actually starting to emerge. And the reason it's only starting to emerge is people haven't been studying telomeres that long. So what we've had in the past is basically a snapshot. You look at the telomere length and try and draw an association with some kind of an outcome. But this has been going on now for probably 20 years or more, and so people actually are able to look at telomere length over a period of time and draw some conclusions about the rate at which they're shortening. And indeed, some people find that over time, telomeres actually get longer. Maybe in about half or a third of the people that are followed, the telomere actually gets longer. And in the others, of course, they get shorter. And it's true, it's the rate at which they seem to get shorter that seems to be the most significant predictor of an outcome.
Okay, so are you a believer that doing things that potentially can lengthen a telomere, or let's say if someone is one of these telomere lengthening types as they age, do you believe that that is indicative of some sort of reversal of cellular senescence?
You know, that's a very good question because, I mean, this draws into question the whole cancer story, too, because in some cancers, telomerase, which actually lengthens the telomere, becomes activated. In most cells, it tends to decline over time, but we find in some cancers it's actually activated and in fact, does lengthen the telomere. So is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? That's a tough question to answer. Could you do it normally? Could you, through some process, lengthen telomeres and gain a few years of livelihood? I don't know. That's a very good question. And I think that's one that many people are asking. There is some evidence, some cell culture evidence, that you can produce telomerase in cultured cells and increase their longevity, if you will. Cells typically in culture have what we call the Hayflick limit. They can only divide 50 to 70 times, something like that, and then they just die. And people have always felt that that was reflective of this telomere length, or at least it correlates with telomere length, because in fact it does. As they get shorter, these cells become senescent and die. But you can actually counter that effect by activating telomerase and make them live a little bit longer. And there's actually some data in mice as well that you can increase longevity by activating telomerase. Is it really possible in a human? I don't know. That's certainly a question that will have to be answered over the next few years.
Well, I think what's really being elucidated today, because there's so many different camps looking at longevity from so many different angles and pathways, that none of these things by themselves seem to beget longevity. I mean, when you look at the individuals that are looking at intermittent fasting and even ultra low caloric diets, we see that in some test subjects, longevity is enhanced, and for instance, sirtuins are not elevated, where the resveratrol camp will say that, you know, elevating sirtuins is the way to longevity. Then you have those who are using products that increase telomerase activity. You have a product out there that they actually were a sponsor on the show last year, TA65, which is a form of why can't I think of the name of the herb right now? Maybe you know what I'm talking about, but
it's a complicated name. Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, they claim that it, by you know, employing this telomerase activation, will lengthen or at least preserve telomere lengths and subsequently increase or preserve the cells from becoming senescent and dying, and your life as well. But I don't think that's been shown to be effective. It seems that there's a lot of things that age in the body, and keeping one well is kind of like you've got a 40-year-old car and you keep changing the shock absorbers, but the rest of the car is falling apart. Well, when the car finally breaks down, it's going to have really good shock absorbers. You know, but there's other things that have to be kept renewed, if you will, as well. What do you think about that the statement?
No, I think you're right on with that. I don't really believe that if we can increase telomere length through whatever mechanism, we're actually going to increase longevity. I agree with your statement that it's multifactorial, and from my perspective, I look at telomere length as a metric. I think it's a metric like graying hair. It's a metric like wrinkles. It's a sense of how old an organism is. I don't think it's the biologic clock that tells us when we're going to die. I don't think we can use it as a predictive metric to say when we're going to die or how long we're going to live, that sort. But I do think it tracks, and I think the evidence is pretty solid, that it is a very good surrogate for age.
Biological age.
Biological age, yes. Does it underlie the pathogenic processes that bring us to the end of life? I think that's at present kind of a stretch. So I agree with you. I think that this is a multifactorial process, and I think to look at telomere length in isolation is misleading and can be misleading. Am I going to say if you have a product that lengthens your telomeres, don't use it? I wouldn't go that far because I don't think anybody really knows enough.
Yeah.
So I think this story will continue to unfold over the next few years.
Yeah.
I will say, however, that the telomeres are very, very popular in the scientific literature right now.
Right.
And if you and anyone follows the scientific literature, you know, just like in any aspect of our lives, there are fashions. And telomeres happen to be
in vogue.
Fashionable
yeah.
at the present.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. We did a show not too long ago where we talked about hormone replacement therapy for women that were peri and postmenopausal, but early postmenopausal, how it actually may benefit a group of women by reversing biological age. In this particular group of women who have a unique allele that once they go through menopause, they actually age biologically 10 years for every 1 year postmenopause. And that using hormonal intervention can actually benefit this particular group of women. And one of the things that they used and they looked at in this group of women, obviously, was telomere length as one of the indicators of biological age. And that the intervention of hormone therapy actually started to preserve their telomere length and reverse it to some degree. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. I've got lots more questions for Dr. Carlquist. We're talking about how your DNA may be predictive of longevity. Stay tuned. You're listening to Super Human Radio. We'll be right back.
Tell a friend. Guess who's back?
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrient C. Altrient C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrient delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to AltrientC.com. That's AltrientC.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to AltrientC.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altrient C. 21st century vitamin C.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Calling all men.
The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked.
Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you are satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. John Carlquist about how the length of DNA may actually protect, predict. That was a Freudian slip, Dr. Carlquist. I said protect. Predict life expectancy. Okay, so you're a cardiologist, correct?
That's my area, right?
Okay, so let's bring the heart into this because that's a particular area of great interest of mine. We know that there are the heart is actually quite capable of repairing itself. Up to 50% of the entire heart can be repaired and rebuilt over a person's lifetime. One of the things that is required for the heart to kick back in and repair itself is two things. Obviously, availability of stem cells, but more importantly, the ability to kind of switch what are known as neonatal gene sets into action. Okay? When we talk about DNA replication and DNA being kind of a blueprint, Does longer DNA that has a greater degree of telomere length on it have that information stored in it? And as the DNA shortens through telomere length shortening, it kind of loses the ability to harken back to those neonatal blueprints, so to speak?
Probably not. The telomere it really doesn't contribute much to information as far as coding regions of the DNA. It's more like a buffer. It protects the ends of the chromosomes from degradation over time. The genes you're talking about actually are there and they're functional, and I think there's a wealth of research ongoing now as can we reprogram mature cells into that fetal phenotype, if you will. And it's actually, that was the Nobel Prize just recently. When we can reprogram using a cocktail of growth factors, you can actually take an adult skin cell, for example, or a white blood cell, and actually turn it into a pluripotential stem cell.
Right.
So those genes are not, they're not lost, they're not damaged, they're there, they're just inactive. And what you need to do to switch them on, if you want to repair a damaged heart, for example, would be to provide it with those signals that will cause it to become no longer dormant and become active and start that process again.
Yeah, and we've actually talked about this. I read a fantastic book put out by the Novartis Foundation called Heart Failure, Molecules, Mechanisms, and Therapeutic Targets that led to a variety of different shows that we did where we started talking about the effectiveness of things like thymosin beta-4 and IGF-1 and so on for helping to kind of nudge the heart into that reparative mode. Getting back to the telomere for a second, am I incorrect in the understanding that telomeres are actually kind of like the repair kit for DNA? When DNA is damaged, it takes from the telomere to repair the DNA, and so every time it replicates, there is some, you know, small amount of damage, and this is why telomeres keep getting shorter and shorter. Is that what telomeres' actual true value is for DNA reparation?
Well, in a sense, you really need to understand the process of DNA replication, and it's quite complex, and we probably don't want to discuss it here, but basically one strand of the DNA is replicated very easily, and the other stumbles along. It's a little more difficult, and it's less efficient. And what happens is it gets toward the end of the chromosome, it starts to fail. And the region where it fails is no longer replicated. And that is what the telomere, that's how the telomere functions. It's a buffer at the end of that chromosome. So we, in essence, we sacrifice regions of the telomere in order to preserve something more critical in the body of the chromosome.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, so what do you hope that people take away from your research as far as DNA length and how it can extrapolate to predicting life expectancy? Do we have a template to say if your DNA is shortening at this rate, you pretty much are going to have X amount of years off the normal lifespan or something like that?
You know, Carl, that's an excellent point. And that information does not exist. Everything that's been done as far as telomere length goes is on a population basis. In other words, we take 10,000 people and measure their telomeres. We can extrapolate an outcome. What we can't say is on an individual basis, if your telomere is this long, this is what's going to happen in this amount of time. And that comes down to the individual predictive properties. We'd need to actually study at what length, what would be a cutoff, in other words, what length of telomere actually for you or for me or for anyone actually predicts a shortened lifespan or a lengthened lifespan. And that information just doesn't exist at this time.
Do you see a telomere testing becoming more in reach for the average person so that we can start to at least benchmark what our telomeres look like at a certain point in our life, then take another snapshot and go, wow, they're pretty close to what they were, or holy mackerel, I'm aging fast, I better do something?
You know, I think, and I'm really not up to speed on this, but I think you can actually get your telomeres measured. I think there are companies out there that will actually do that.
Yeah, but it's really out of reach of, you know, it's not like going to a lab and doing a blood spot test, for instance. You know, it's still pretty financially out of reach for the average person, and I doubt that insurance companies would even consider picking something like that up.
No, they wouldn't consider it at all. And once again, it comes down to the interpretation. And even though those companies can perform the testing, they can't tell you what it means. I mean, they can say, on an average, your telomere length is shorter or longer than the population as a whole. But what that actually means, I don't think.
Yeah, because it really doesn't mean anything. Because you could be a person who was born with short telomeres, but your telomeres have not gotten any shorter in the past 30 years, where somebody else could start out with a very long telomere and do a telomere test at, let's say, 50, and someone would go, well, your telomeres are much longer than person A, but the reality is person B is not aging nearly as well as person A.
Exactly. That's entirely true. And we know, too, that telomere length is heritable. Not everyone is born with the same telomere length. So where that snapshot's taken, at what age and so forth, has a great deal of bearing on your interpretation. And once again, you know, oversimplification is certainly a risk here. There are other studies out that say that, I mean, when we look at a person's telomere length, we're looking at essentially a white blood cell population from the peripheral blood. And we're taking an average, but there are newer studies saying that if you actually look at individual cells, it's maybe not the average that makes the difference. It's what proportion in that entire population of cells have a short telomere versus a long telomere. I mean, so, you know, we don't want to oversimplify. I think that's always a risk.
And that was actually my next question. My next question is, do we look at telomere length in tissue so that we can say, for instance, in your area of expertise, you're interested in the heart and how it functions and how it ages and the etiology of diseases of the heart. Can we look at people who are relatively youthful on the outside, but seems that their heart is aging much faster than the rest of their body? Do we look at telomere length in tissue specifically?
You know, it has been done, but that's typically, that isn't done frequently. That's done more, I would say, in an experimental model, maybe a mouse model or something of that sort, because it's a little harder to do with humans. Blood is so accessible as a specimen to study, and I think that's why all those studies you see out there are basically based on blood cells. But telomere length is different in different cells of the body, and blood cells are highly heterogeneous as far as telomere length goes. Considering that the function of the blood cells is to basically promote inflammation, fight infection, and so forth, and that whole process is dependent on cell division. So clearly there are going to be some huge differences in telomere length in the white blood cell population.
Right.
Just because of what they do.
Right. Right. They better last longer.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And hence we see a lot of emerging research on telomere activity and the immune system. Because we see that the immune system can actually run out of gas, so to speak, because of the inability for cells to continue to replicate properly that have an influence on the immune system.
Exactly. And I think, I mean, if we're going to talk real relevance here, I think that's probably the most substantive area where this is showing some meaning. There was a study that just came out in JAM, the Journal of American Medical Association, within a few weeks, I think, that they actually did experimental rhinovirus infection, the virus that causes the common cold. And in a group of volunteers, they found that the proportion of those who actually succumbed to the virus and developed a head cold had much shorter telomeres than those who did not. And the inference is that, as you were saying, if your immune system starts to wear down over time, then you are at greater risk for whatever, cancer,
yeah,
infectious disease, and so forth. And I think that may be a more relevant application of telomere length.
Well, especially since, as you point out so eloquently, that we're really looking at white blood cell telomere length, and that has the greatest influence on the immune system. We see individuals who are suffering from HIV, when they succumb to the disease, that the telomere lengths of their white blood cells are non-existent. And obviously their immune system has gone completely awry. So this is all really great information. And we have to keep the discussion open, obviously. I know that we don't really know a whole lot more now than we did a short while ago. But I do believe that as more information is available and we start to look at populations and we start paying attention to telomere length and following it through people's lives and so on, that we'll have a better a snapshot of what value telomere length has on predicting longevity and even maybe preventing cellular senescence. And I think that the group out there that's worried about cancer and telomerase activators and things that manipulate telomeres need to not worry about it, because, as you pointed out before, many cancers are already immortal because they are designed to keep replicating faster and better, and they produce their own telomerase even while the rest of the body is not. What we need to do is arm, you know, there's a large group out there that says that cancers are a result of mutant replications of DNA that get a bad blueprint and start mutating. And if we had DNA that stayed on task, hence keeping telomeres long enough so that they can replicate properly, that we might be able to eradicate cancer. Would you like to close on a statement about that?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. You know, it's really, in a sense, what you've said and what people say is true. Cancer does arise from changes in the DNA blueprint, but it's not nearly that simple. It usually involves a cancer repressor gene, which controls the rate of proliferation of a cell, or it involves the receptor for a growth factor or the growth factor itself. So basically, a cancer is a situation where a normal on-off switch is locked in the on, and we can't turn that off. And it's so much more complicated than just telomere length or something of that sort. And we find in many cancers, too, that we start with one aberration in the switch, which then leads to another, which leads to another, which is oftentimes why chemotherapy fails for cancer, because you find an effective chemotherapeutic agent which is effective for 6 months and suddenly it doesn't work any longer, typically because that cancer has mutated again and we have another another failure in the control mechanism. So
evolution is an amazing thing. It works
it
on
really
so many
is.
Different levels. You know,
we
think we're the only ones that should get better and better. We don't think that diseases should get better and better, right? So, listen, I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show today, Dr. Carlquist.
Oh, I've enjoyed it very much. Thanks, Carl.
All right, take care. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to go to the UK, and we're going to talk about the conundrum, obesity leads to vitamin D. How, why, what does it mean? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinus Stain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Wherever you call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete, all-natural and organic recovery formula, Am Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors. No GMOs. Less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market. The body's ammunition. And Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleandnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
And Nutrition.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrient C. Altrient C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrient delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to AltrientC.com. That's AltrientC.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to AltrientC.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altrient C, 21st Century Vitamin C.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Down, baby.
Welcome back.
Break down.
Okay.
Break.
We've heard lots of information about the relationship between obesity and vitamin D, but it appears to be a chicken and egg discussion, and that's why we are being joined by Dr. Elina Hyponen from the University College of London.
Hello.
How you doing, Dr. Hyponen?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, you're with the Institute of Child Health, correct?
That's right.
So your area of interest really lies in childhood obesity, I would imagine?
Not really. It's I'm in Institute of Child Health, but I'm mainly investigating middle-aged individuals, and that simply comes that this is a birth cohort which started when they were babies, but now they have all grown up. So
Well, middle age does not apply to me, Dr. Hyponen, because I am only 54 years old, so yeah. I'm very, very young still.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. It was once thought that vitamin D status may lead to obesity, and that was one of the earlier discussions about the linkage between D and obesity. What did your group look at, and what did you find out?
Yes, so we were exactly interested in this, that whether vitamin D would lead to obesity, or whether obesity is actually a risk factor for vitamin D status. And to establish the direction and causality of this association, we carried out a large-scale genetic association study. So we had over 42,000 participants from 21 different studies from different countries in Europe, and also some from the U.S. and Canada.
Wow.
So, yeah, so what we did first, we confirmed that there is a very consistent association between higher BMI and lower vitamin D status. And it was really, it was seen for men and women, it was seen across the continent. So that association in the phenotypic variables, it was really clear. But we really wanted to see whether it's causal and which one is driving what. So we carried out a genetic association study in order to establish this. So what we did there is that we took 12 different genetic variants that we knew that would lead to higher BMI, because all of these variants, they had been identified as BMI increasing risk factors in earlier genome-wide association studies. And first, we looked at whether these genetic variants that were supposed to increase BMI were also increasing BMI in our studies. And we saw exactly what we were expecting. So there was a nice dose-response association with increasing number of BMI increasing alleles. But then we wanted to see whether these BMI increasing alleles were also associated with vitamin D status. Because you would expect that if the association is truly causal, and if it's driven by BMI, then also these genetic variants that are increasing BMI should be associated with vitamin D status.
Right, right.
And this is exactly what we saw. So, so that our study really provided support for the fact that the BMI, higher BMI is leading to lower vitamin D status. But then we also carried out the opposite of that. So we also took vitamin D lowering risk genetic factors, and we looked whether they are associated firstly with vitamin D status, and they were, as we would be expecting. But they showed absolutely no evidence for an association with BMI.
Right, right. But when you look at BMI, the only question I have real quick is, we know that BMI is a flawed metric, because you can have someone like me who's 228 pounds, but I am around 12 or 13% body fat, and on the BMI scale, I'm well over the 30 BMI that puts me in the risk of being overweight or obese.
Yeah, exactly. So BMI is an imperfect measure, and it's very, when you're thinking about classification as somebody as overweight or obese, it's very unfair to men. But it's still the kind of like most commonly used measure to classify individuals based on the obesity or overweight. And for this type of epidemiological studies, it's not perfect, but it is useful.
Okay.
So it's no way absolute measure. And always in this kind of with this kind of indices, one needs to use common sense. And
well, I was just going to say it's probably fair to assume that the majority of people who have very high BMIs are not ultra muscular. Their probably BMI is elevated because they're carrying more body fat.
And that's right.
Okay. So when you discovered that the relationship between higher BMI was more corollary to vitamin D, then what did you look at?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by that.
I guess I said it in reverse. Vitamin D status was corollarily, not causative of obesity.
Yeah.
So I said it in reverse. When you discovered that, did you look deeper to say, well, let's see if there are some other glaring facts here that can make us feel very comfortable that vitamin D status is not causing obesity. Obesity is causing low vitamin D status.
Well, as said, we looked at the association in both directions. So we also used the vitamin D lowering alleles and look at their association with BMI, and we found no evidence for association. But because it's always much more difficult to establish a lack of association than to show if there is one.
Right.
We went to another consortium with even larger samples, so they had over 120,000 individuals in that collaboration, and we just wanted to double check whether any evidence for an association between vitamin D and BMI could be found, and there was absolutely nothing. So whatever we did, the message was clearly that it is BMI that is leading to lower vitamin D status rather than vice versa.
Okay. Now, there are lots of different diseases associated with obesity.
That's right.
Are any of them, now that you understand the relationship between obesity and vitamin D status, are there any of those diseases that you can start the discussion to say, well, this disease may not be a primary result of obesity, but instead primary result of the low vitamin D status?
Yes, and that is really the interesting question, what is arising from this study. And there is a lot of joint links between the proposed health associations or health effects for vitamin D compared to those with obesity. And one of them is, for example, the low-grade inflammation that one sees in obesity. And one of the hot topics for future for us to establish is that whether by vitamin D supplementation we could alleviate the low-grade inflammation in obese individuals, which could then potentially have a really wide-ranging beneficial effects on their risk of cardiovascular diseases, on their risk of cancer, and other important conditions.
I'll go even further. There's a emerging evidence that it is the low-grade inflammation that obese people suffer from that may actually have a causative effect on insulin resistance on a cellular level. So if you can arrest the inflammation while someone is working on becoming less obese, you may be able to stop that first domino that leads to so many other downline diseases.
That's right. So it's really there are so many joint links, and it's not possible to say, and it probably wouldn't be the case that to simply by ensuring adequate vitamin D status in individuals who are obese, all of these other conditions could be prevented. But what I think is absolutely safe to say and important to highlight is that it is important to prevent vitamin D deficiency, because the deficiency is going to lead to adverse effects, whoever you are and whether you are normal weight or overweight or whatever your situation is.
Okay, and we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up from there, because I want to talk to you about the different isoforms of vitamin D and also the biologically active forms of vitamin D, because this may be where the research divides on vitamin D, where some studies show vitamin D's efficacy in a variety of things and other studies show it has no effect at all. It may not be the supplementation. It may be the enzymatic conversion to the biologically active form in people that is not occurring in some but is occurring in others. We're talking with Dr. Elena, I want to get the name right, it is Hyponen, and she is with the University College in London. We're talking about vitamin D status and obesity. The discussion will continue on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RG Cell Super Stem Cell Support. RG Cell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
today.
Everyone wants growth hormone because growth hormone works. Now Age Force is offering a buy one, get one free on their most popular transdermal patch. The Power Patch contains 25 milligrams of real somatropin per patch. It delivers real, competent human growth hormone right to your bloodstream without the discomfort of injections. There's never been a better time to see what the Power Patch can do for you. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. This offer ends soon. Get your growth hormone the Age Force way. Power Patch.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
This time of year, it seems everyone's sick. You need to do everything you can to avoid it. A healthy immune system starts with a healthy lifestyle. This includes Altrient C. Altrient C delivers the vitamin C your body needs. In fact, Altrient delivers 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. Go to AltriantC.com. That's AltriantC.com. It even comes with a money-back guarantee. For vitamin C that actually gets absorbed, go to AltriantC.com or call 888-437-6353 to order. That's 888-437-6353. Altrient C, 21st Century Vitamin C.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Elina Hyponen. She's with the University College in London. We're talking about vitamin D status and obesity. And what we've determined is that obesity leads to a lower D status. So, Dr. Hyponen, when you look at vitamin D supplementation, first of all, there are two isoforms that are proper promoted for supplementation, D2 and D3. D3 has become the favorite for the supplementing community. But we also know that taking 10,000 IUs of vitamin D for some people does not elevate the biologically active form of vitamin D. And that is where some of the research kind of goes out the window, where we can't duplicate this results from time to time. When you looked at a D status, what did you look at in the blood? Did you look at the biologically active, what is it called, calciferol, I think?
No, we looked at 25-hydroxyvitamin D,
okay,
which is not biologically active, but it's generally considered as the best indicator for dietary and sunlight-induced synthesis intake of vitamin D.
This is where I would suggest, and obviously I have no accreditation. I'm just a talk show host, but this is where I would suggest that those in the vitamin D community would start to look, because we did a show with a brilliant gentleman from Munster, Germany, named Adel Musa. And he pulled up research and showed that there are people who do not have the enzyme to convert to the biologically active form calciferol. And that in this group here, they can have very high levels of 25-hydroxy, but not necessarily have any of the benefits of vitamin D status. And so what I think that the scientific community needs to now is to go a step deeper and say, okay, now let's look at how many of these people that fall into this group or that group or that group are actually have the biologically active form of vitamin D, and let's look at the relationship between this disease or obesity and those individuals.
I think that it's very difficult to study the biologically active form of vitamin D because it has a very short half-life. So it depends really. You may get a very different result if you measure the quantity 1 hour before or later. It's also, we know that the hormonal activation of vitamin D is occurring in target tissues. So when you are just looking at systemic circulating concentrations, that won't tell you anything what might be happening in the level of immune cells or in the bone or what have you. So it hasn't typically been considered as very useful to measure these active hormonal forms.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If you can't measure the hormone because it disappears so quickly, then perhaps a person's enzymatic status for the availability of these enzymes that are designed to convert over. But I still think that the magic is in the biologically active, and hence the term biologically active form of vitamin D. Do you have opinions on supplementing with, let's say, D3 for people who have low vitamin D status and are obese? You think this is a wise thing, or is the jury still out on that?
I think that there is a need, I believe, for supplementation, especially for countries where there is no vitamin D fortification of foods during the dark periods of the year. So from say November to March. In the UK or similar latitudes, because there just won't be any vitamin D synthesis from the sun, and we know that food is a very poor source for vitamin D.
I was just
going to
say that. Right. And you know, one of the things that's always boggled my mind is this. We know, as you point out, that food is a very poor source of vitamin D, unless you're looking at the liver of certain animals, fish, and you know, and so on. We don't have availability in nature of high amounts of vitamin D. We get almost all of our vitamin D from the sun, and the sun has become evil. You know, if you listen to dermatologists, they say never go in the sun, never go in the sun. This is crazy. You have to go in the sun. We evolved under the sun. But okay, there's a big fear, whether it's realistic or not, of skin cancer. So, which has led me to wonder why the nutraceutical industry has not come out with transdermal topical vitamin D supplements. Because we know that this is the way the body prefers to get it. It prefers to absorb it through the skin, not the gut. And I'm sure, without doing any research, that when you ingest vitamin D, there are hepatic changes that occur because the liver is always trying to protect the body, and it upregulates receptors, and it flushes vitamin D out or whatever it is that's coming into the body in high amounts out to try to regulate it. And when it enters through the skin, it bypasses the hepatic landscape, and it acts differently in the body. I'm wondering why scientists and nutritionists are not saying, look, we need to come up with topical vitamin D supplement for people if we're going to tell them to stay out of the sun. You have any opinion on that statement?
Not really, other than that I think that typically we consider that once vitamin D enters circulation, whether it has come through the sunlight-induced synthesis in the skin or whether it has been obtained from the diet, the metabolic processes are similar. So I'm not sure there are such big differences.
Okay. All right. Well, and again, that's why I don't have letters after my name. So anyway, what do you hope that people take away from your research?
Well, I think that typically, and this has been kind of like public health message that I have carried out with me for 10 years now, and I don't know what it tells when it hasn't changed, but I think that the key thing for anyone, in my opinion, is to avoid vitamin D deficiency. And that is something that one needs to actively think about in normal situations, because as noted, food is a very poor source for vitamin D, and sunlight-induced synthesis is not going to carry us through during the winter months. So one needs to consider that the concentrations are going to be falling during the dark periods of the year, and then something needs to be done in order not to let them go too low.
Do you think that we, if we look at polymorphisms, if we look at evolutionary processes, do you think that there may be actually some value to the biphasic vitamin D production that we see when we have evolved and spent our entire life, and our ancestors have spent their entire life in a in an area of the world where there are seasons? Do you think that there may actually be some value to that, the polyphasic delivery of vitamin D?
I'm not sure that there is, because there is so much literature on seasonal differences in all sorts of health outcomes, and so, you know, starting that birth weight varies by season, mortality risk varies by season, and whatever you look at tends to vary by season. And of course, vitamin D synthesis is not the only factor that is affecting these seasonal variations, but they do exist. So I don't, I think that in that context, it wouldn't look that we have totally adapted to whatever differences there are between seasons. And they still do affect our health.
Interesting. Okay, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on the show.
No problem.
Today, Dr. Haipunen, and I wish you good luck with the rest of your research. I think it's an important message that you're putting out there, that people need to pay attention to vitamin D status. I think it's really, really important. All doctors should be testing their patients, no matter what age, for vitamin D status, because there is a lot of good evidence out there that that it can aid in health.
That's right.
When levels are maintained at the proper proper level. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, I got an announcement to make. I'm going to ask the audience for some help, so don't tune out just yet. We'll be right back.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh-looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad today.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Wherever you call your battlefield, after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, AM Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition, AM Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleamnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
AM Nutrition.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Way Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Way Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Way Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Way Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Tomorrow's Thursday. We have a roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy episode. We also have a special episode of Subversity. We'll be joined by Adelfo Cerame as he, myself, and the brilliant Adel Musa continue this panel-type show tomorrow for the second hour. Some of you may be seeing on Facebook that I have been releasing some pretty cool images that encapsulate messages from this show, the missions from this show. I'm going to release these a couple a week as we go forward, and I'm asking the audience to share them. Share them with your friends. Repost them on Facebook. Help make the show a little more viral. The more people we get to listen in, the larger the Superhuman Nation becomes, the easier it will be for us to do a lot of the things that we want to do, namely have legislation pay attention to healthy people instead of just sick people. So help the show out and take these images and share them any way you can. Tweet them, put them on bodybuilding and fitness forums and boards, reshare them on Facebook and so on. I'd appreciate it very much. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.